Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Living Astrology with Janet Hickox. Grab your cup of coffee or your tea, sit back and relax, and let's chat about what is happening up in the stars above today, or in the sky above us, but also in the field of energy that is all around us. Some days it feels like we have more to talk about in terms of the energy around us. Other days it's all about the astrology aspects or the things that are going on in the stars. Today, I have a blank page. Blank. See that? Blank. Two reasons come to mind. One is there really isn't much going on today. But the other thing is that somehow this morning I got into a space, a frame of mind, perhaps, of contemplation. And before I knew it, the time was almost 8 o'clock, and I still had wet hair. I still had no makeup on. So I had to quick dash in and do something about that. And that left me with relatively little time to put something together for the show this morning. That doesn't mean that we don't have things to talk about, because we do, but it's likely going to go in a direction not as organized as I usually have it. So there you got it, right? I can be fallible, and I can also speak from or shoot from the hip. So today we're going to shoot from the hip. The first thing that was really kind of going on in my mind this morning was about how, no matter how advanced you think you are, no matter how much study you do about spirituality or about yourself, you are always still in the field of the shadow. And some of the things that happened yesterday and some of the things that I'm still thinking about this morning have me really pushing through that shadow energy. And I thought, you know, with so few transits to talk about, what the bleep is going on? And then as I was looking at the chart this morning, it hit me. It hit me, and I want to show you what it is that's going on. If you too are finding yourself diving back into shadows you thought were already done and gone, taking action instead of, taking action from a space of reaction instead of a space of resolve or responsibility or in responding. So I want to show you this. And first of all, I'm going to go over and check the Facebook feed and say good morning to people. Good morning, Angela. It's great to see you. Judy Wheeler and Mimi, good morning to you. And anybody else whom I don't see here right now, good morning and welcome to Living Astrology. So this morning, because we're on Zoom, I get to share my screen. So I'm going to have you hold with me here for one moment while I bring up we'll bring this up and then see if I can switch it over to what I really want to show you, which is this. Now I'm going to stop sharing and then share again. There you be. Okay. So all of you should be taking a look right now at something that says chart of the moment. And chart of the moment is was at 8 o'clock and 2 seconds. So it was like this last minute thought I had before I went on air live. I thought, oh, you know, I pulled one for at six something this morning, but I wanted to show you what it is physically that is going on. And, you know, sometimes I forget, because I'm looking at a chart of the moment every day. So, or I'm looking at other people's charts. I very rarely get the opportunity to pull my own chart and look at my chart. So sometimes I'm looking at this information about Chiron or Aries, you know, and Aries and all of this kind of stuff. And I'm like caught up in what it looks like here. And that means that I'm almost equating myself to what is happening here on this chart and not really what's going on in my chart. So yesterday I was gobsmacked by some things that were coming up. And then I looked at the chart and I pull out this chart. I went, wait a minute, that's not even your chart. It's not even my chart. So here's what I was thinking about. So we all know that the shadow field on the planet right now is very powerful. And it's very powerful almost as a caricature of what it is that we need to change within ourselves in order to see change in the outer world. And it's really easy for us to take a look at what's going on and cast it outside of us so that we, number one, can look at it, But number two, then we can deal with it. But unfortunately, what we do in our unconsciousness is we cast it out there and then we blame it on the world, or we become a victim of it, or it's somebody else's fault, or what have you. So we are constantly playing with this thing that I call the mirror, which a lot of psychologists would call mirrors. Some people would call it the projection field. And consequently, we're not ever even really seeing ourselves clearly. And then when things happen, we tend to react to them. And all of that is to say it's coming up from the emotional field, the emotional center. So we're going to take a deeper dive looking at the emotional center here in a few minutes. But I want to show you where it is right now that the trigger point might be coming from. I'm going to see if I can get my little highlighter out here. Is that a spotlight? What the heck is a spotlight? Well, I want you to look at this part of your chart right here. And that's a nasty looking circle. I think I need it to be thicker. And I want you to look at this part of the chart because this is the part that where things are happening. And it is the black moon Lilith, who looks like the moon here with the cross under it, and Chiron. And I just drew the line through Venus, but here's Venus. And even though they're spread apart like that in terms of the symbol, they are all, if you look at these tick lines, they are all right on top of each other, including Salacia, which we haven't really worked with too much yet. I'm throwing her in there just so I can get used to her vibe and see what it is that she seems to bring up. She was the wife of Neptune, and as such, she was the queen, if you will, of the oceans and the deep, dark depths. So we have the black moon Lilith, the shadow. We have Chiron, the wound. We have Salacia, the deep and the dark ocean. And we have Venus, which is the goddess of love and our values and our worth, all on top of one another, pretty much here in the sign of Aries. Aries representing a new beginning, Mars energy, which is dynamic and sometimes takes action without thinking. Think first. Wait, what's that saying? Act. The saying goes, think first, act next or second. But in Mars's case, it's often, in an Aries case, often act first, think later. And so we have this dynamic playing out here in a very tender spot of the chart because it is the beginning, right? Aries, first few degrees is the beginning. It is springtime. It is where things come up anew. So that's going on in the field behind the scenes, where we have our shadows being triggered, our fear, which is what the shadow really is being triggered. And then we have the shadow being expressed in new ways, kind of showing you where it is that you haven't quite finished dealing with it, where it isn't quite healed within you. And so we end up with the possibility of things happening in our lives that mirror something very powerful to us. All right, now I'm going to see if I can clear that. I see it tells me clear. There we go. Ooh, I didn't know I could do that. That's good. So I'm going to get done with that, and I'm going to stop sharing my screen. So what we have to then today, and really kind of, this is why we don't have any major aspects going on, is so that we can clear some of this behind the scenes stuff, right? The shadowy stuff that's lying kind of in wait for us at times. So we have the shadowy energy coming up for us in Aries, hopefully striking us out in a new direction, a new healthy direction, right? Chiron is there. So this is about healing as much as it is about wounding. And how do we heal the wound? Well, first we have to see it. We have to see it. We have to look at it. We have to be willing to do something about it. And that is what is up for all of us in behind the scenes right now. Now, if we take a look today at the moon is in the last several degrees of Virgo. It will transition. It's actually already in the void at this moment. It has made all the contacts it will make until it moves into the sign of Libra, which doesn't happen until later this afternoon. And God help me, I have that time here somewhere. Today's the 11th at 3:38 p.m. Pacific time. So 6:38 p.m. for you all on the East Coast. So today is a day for deep thought, for contemplation, for yoga, for meditation, for clearing off your desk, perhaps closing up shop on something, but not necessarily the energy for really starting something new, right? You might want to wait to start something new if it's important or if it's a new opportunity. You might want to wait until after the void, of course. So set your meetings for later on in the afternoon or evening, depending on where you live, or better yet, wait for tomorrow. So at 3:38 this afternoon, my time, the moon will move out of Virgo and into Libra. And Libra, of course, is a sign that is in opposition to the sign of Aries. So if I show you my screen again, I can share without all the drawings. Here is Aries right here down at the lower left quadrant. And opposite of that is the sign of Libra. Here's our moon at the 25th degree right now of Virgo. And at 3 something this afternoon, my time, he will cross this line. She, the moon, will cross this line and end up in Libra and will then begin to oppose Chiron, the black moon, Lilith, and Venus, all sitting here in the sign of Aries. And this is the axis of love and war. And so we want to be careful later then how we look at what is going on in our own lives. And instead of maybe taking brash or bold action kind of out of a reaction, we want to be calculated. We want to slow it down a little bit and take responsibility in how we respond to what is showing up for us each in the world. So, and you know, just to say, I'm bringing this up because yesterday I made a decision. I made the decision in the moment, but it was one that I had been thinking about for weeks. So I felt fairly comfortable that I had made the correct decision. But it's still, after I made the decision, all of that shadowy energy started coming up for me. And I was wondering what the bleep I was doing and, you know, got into the fear of having really come down on my own side and standing up for myself. And I thought, wow, that is really a shadow of worthiness being, you know, brought to us by Venus, because she rules our values, our self-worth, and our finances. And then Chiron, the wound and the healing. And then, of course, the black moon Lilith aiding and abetting. Salacia, like I said, I'm not sure what she does, except she can take us into that depth. I'm pretty sure she's ruling the deep emotions, the things that maybe are lying, you know, buried in your emotional field. So we want to watch out then later today and into tomorrow, because not only is Libra a sign that is opposing Aries, it is a sign that is squaring our planetary energy over here in Capricorn. So we might see more of the destruction, reconstruction energy going on in our personal lives, or even in our outer world, as we continue to move through sort of these waves of change and regeneration and destruction and reconstruction, reforming, reformatting our lives, setting ourselves up for what eventually becomes who we really want to be and doing the things that we really want to do out in the world. So that means over the next couple of days, we're going to really want to watch what's going on in our lives. Anytime the moon is moving through one of those four signs, Libra, Capricorn, Aries, or Cancer. Right now, Cancer is only playing host to the North Node, which is winding down its transit through the sign of Cancer and Capricorn, where the South Node is. So we still have some work to do, right? We're still doing that project. We're a project that is in the making, that is in the reconstruction phase, or the remodel phase, or the reimagining phase. There's a lot of different words that we can put with it. And it also fits well with our eventual return to Mercury retrograde this weekend, where then it takes us into that inner world. And we are then being able to remodel that inner world, that inner dynamic. All right, I'm going to head over to Facebook quickly and see what people are doing out there. Good morning, Amy. Amy Moore says, I was literally waiting for the broadcast to start and somehow ended up late. Where did those 12 minutes go? I don't know. Off into the space, I guess, into the ethers. Christine says, Aries, as I am feeling it, yes, that fire. And she meant Virgo. Virgo too is earth, and you may be feeling Virgo. You may be feeling all of it. Actually, we all have all of this, right? So we're feeling it all, and it's all there in our faces. Now, adding to that, as if that's not enough, we also have some very tricky energy playing out in our human designs this week. And I'm going to switch now and share my screen with you as I want to bring up a human design chart. Oh, there's my titty. Hi, kitty. Zadie. Say hi to everybody. She's decided she's going to join us this morning. Okay, so I want to share the screen and bring up a human design chart. And this is just a blank body graph. And I bring this up for you because there are a couple of very tricky energies, like I said, that are coming up right now. One of them is the placement of the sun today at the gate 49, which is down here. If you can see my little pink marker cursor, it's right here, gate 49. And this is the emotion center or the solar plexus. So what we see here is the sun at the gate of revolution, and it is on the emotional center. And then we have the earth far, far away up here in the gate 4 on the Ajna. So we're taking up our thinking, perhaps our answers to big questions. It is in part about what we think about and about how we answer those questions that come up from within us. So we have a revolution going on down here in the emotional center, while we also have something going on up here in the Ajna. And if you'll remember, the Ajna is the center for the mind. It is the part of the human design that we really think of when we talk about memory, comparing and contrasting and analyzing and critical thinking. It all comes here in the Ajna, where the head center is more of the inspiring thoughts that come in and the idea field. So these two work together to create the head centers, the head center at the top here being a pressure center, and this center, the Ajna, being only an awareness center. Thus, the reason why we do not make decisions from our head. We have inspiration that's coming in, often from outside of us that we're not quite sure what to do with. It comes down and meets up with either the gate of confusion, the gate of magic, or the gate of self-doubt. And then it meets into the Ajna with, oh, I have the answers. Oh, I need to be rational. Or, oh, shit, I'm really confused now. And trying to figure out how things go. So these two centers together do not make good decision-making centers. However, the emotional center, this seems so counterintuitive to me because we're so used to being in the thought field. We've been trained to be logical, to critically think and analyze and then make decisions based on what it is that we've observed from our minds. But it has no energy up here for making decisions, but your emotional center does. But the emotional center is volatile. This is volatile energy. In the shadow energy, we have impact and war. Here we might have the impact of love or not. Here we have the impact of grace or not. Here we have turbulence, chaos or not. Here we have desire or not. Here we have victimization or not. And here we have revolution or not. And when we take a look deeper at this gate 49 on the emotional center, which, by the way, let me just say this again, no matter what your personal human design looks like, what's colored in, what's white, what channels are white or colored in, what gates are white or are colored in, you have all of the human design. If it's colored in, it's called defined. And if it's defined, it's energy that you are broadcasting. You are always broadcasting through those centers. You could say that if it's colored in, it's your authentic energy, right? It's your authentic energy that you are broadcasting. It comes naturally to you, right? It's part of your DNA. It is part of the DNA, you could say, the codon that is triggering expression. So if you're looking at a human design chart and you see it's all, all different kinds of color, those colored areas are where the real you resides. The white centers or the white channels or the white gates are places where you take in energy from the people around you or from the transits of planets that are moving on. For example, I have a very open channel 1949. Well, last week, I had 19 suddenly defined sensitivity, And then this week, I suddenly have gate 49 defined, revolution. So you may find in your own chart that if this is colored in, this isn't new to you. If this is white for you and today it's colored in, this is something that you're now dealing with. And when we look deeper at the gate 49, we are looking at the energy of the inner revolution. This isn't the revolution that is happening outside of you. This is the revolution that's happening inside of you. But the way that you see that revolution is in your outer world, through your relationships with people, particularly your closest relationships, and through the things that you see outside of you. So when we're looking at the outer world of chaos or craziness, coronavirus, this, impeach that, Brexit over here, the Mexit, the royal family, you name it, all of the different things that are going, the election coming up here in this country, all of those things are just symbols for the inner dynamic in you that is also changing, morphing, growing, evolving. So I wanted you to take a look at that, because we always seem to think of the mind as being the driver of what is changing in us, but it isn't. The biggest evolutionary impulse for us all right now is happening here, in this center, in this, the solar plexus. This is the point that we're tipping over to the evolutionary point, the evolutionary leap, if you will, where this center takes over from the spleen center as the organizing template for humanity, where this one has been all about fear-based survival energy. This one is all about steering yourself from your emotions, doing what's right for you, what feels good to you, what feels correct to you. And that is an evolutionary leap, because it requires us to get out of the fear before we can do that. We have to tease through what it is that is being triggered within us, or what it is that we, how it is that we are making the decision to do something or not do something, or to make change. So I hope all that makes sense. I'm going to go back really quickly over to the human, or going over to the human design, and see what questions people have. Judy saying very vivid dreams. Mimi saying, hi to you, Sadie. Hey, Sadie. And Judy feeling all of it. I don't doubt that in the least, Judy, because it is, I didn't even recognize it myself until this morning, actually, as I was contemplating, like I said, what would we talk about? So let's go a little bit deeper now into the changing the world from the inside. That was what I named the show this morning, changing the world from the inside. And that comes specifically from the Gene Key 49, which is titled Changing the World from the Inside. And I always, always, always seem to forget this. Even though I talk about it all the time, about mirrors, we've been talking about this now for over a week, right? How our relationships are mirrors and they show us what's happening in within us. And then, or, you know, we package up whatever it is that we need to see clearly, and we cast it outward into the faces of our beloveds, into our families or into our communities. And then we can see more clearly what is going on. And then often the emotional center, because we're such babes when it comes to being able to deal with emotional energy properly, we react as opposed to responding to what is showing up. And of course, wouldn't you know that the gate 49's shadow is reaction, right? Reaction. So the shadow energy of reaction contains the trigger to humanity's moving up, ascending, if you will, to higher consciousness. And I know I hate bandying around that term, ascension, because it's gotten so misused and so, I don't even know what to call it, cliched almost. But in truth, what is happening here is we are evolving our consciousness. And the shadow energy of reaction here is that, that it shows us that that evolution begins inwardly. It is more of an involution than it is an evolution. And it all begins in the solar plexus emotions. So it begins in what you're feeling, the emotional energy here. And if this shadow maintains itself or holds sway over your, let's rephrase this. So if you allow raw emotional energy to rule your life and your decisions, then you are often found operating out of that shadow of reaction, right? Trigger, reaction, rather than trigger, pause for clarity, emotional center, clarity over time, and then responding, right? So responding rather than reaction. And you can tell that this shadow holds sway. And in the extreme, what we see is it manifests as the ability for us to emotionally cut ourselves off from each other. And there's a reason why this happened, right? This was an energy that allowed us to kill one another, to kill other. And this goes back to our ancient selves, right? Our ancient selves, where a tribe might be faced with a marauding tribe and they had to be able to cut themselves off emotionally. I doubt that we even had an emotional center that was developing yet at that point in time. And that allowed them to do what was necessary for the survival of the tribe. Now, we still see this energy. It is still plain as day out there in that old, in the outer world, when we go to war, when we drop bombs on people, when we fight amongst ourselves for struggling over power or primacy in some way, shape, or form. So our cutting ourselves off from the emotions has allowed us to not see ourselves clearly and to then create havoc in how it is that we treat one another on the planet. So when the sun moves to a gate like this, it's an open invitation for us to create a revolution in our inner emotional field, to elevate ourselves out of that energy of war, out of that energy of fighting, out of that energy of seeing everyone, not you, as other, and to claim, put a claim on unity, or to create an inner revolution so that our outer world begins to manifest based on the picture from our inner world. This takes us back to the mirrors, that everything is mirroring something to us. And what is that for you? And you'll only discover that by taking the time to really look at it, to really understand that you are human, you're going to make mistakes, you are going to entertain all of these shadows, all of them, no matter where you think you are on the scale, you're always going to have those shadows there. And the shadows are the instigation, the trigger for us to be able to move into the gift layer, which the gift layer here is revolution. And ultimately, this leads us to the city, which is rebirth. So it's all very, it's so nicely dovetailed and coherent with the bigger thought processes going on, with the bigger evolutionary energies that we see with Saturn and Pluto and Jupiter all in Capricorn and Aries energy, where the shadow's being triggered for us to begin something new, right? To start something new, to go into new territory, to create a new pathway, and a new pathway built on emotional intelligence and not emotional reaction. All right. How's everybody doing with that? Debbie says, better late than never. Good morning to you. I don't like this new system. I really wish I could go back to the old one because I can't see everybody's comments. That drives me crazy. As you know, I really like that interaction. And I don't know what that's says newest first. No, I'm just going to leave that because if I change it, something more weird might happen. Okay, so I am going to go into our wonderful little book. And this book, of course, is written by, this is out of an oracle deck written by Rosie Aronson. Rosie Aronson, we had here on the show one morning, and she shared with us the process of how this happened and where this came from. So it is called the Wisdom Keeper's Inner Guidebook, the 64 Faces of Awakening. So we're going to take a look first at our face for revolution. And she's a beauty, right? Look at this. She is absolutely gorgeous. All of these cards are gorgeous, by the way, and you might hear me say that every time, but she's particularly beautiful. Look at those eyes. They have such light in them, as if she knows something like that we don't know yet. And it's not that it's a secret. It's that she's just waiting. It's like the open door. And look at her forehead. It almost looks like a keyhole inviting us in, inviting us to change the way that we've been in the world, to create a revolution, an inner revolution, of course. So let's read about what this is. I'm in the wrong one. Hold on. Must get to the correct card. And here we see, as long as you see your own people as good and others as evil, you remain a prisoner of the 49th shadow. And yes, I forgot to bring that up, that all of this has at its core a belief in that good and evil, right? That going back to some of the older ancient doctrines, even in our own religions, about this idea of good and evil. And if you're good, you belong, you're part of our community, we like you, we take care of you, we nurture you. And if you're evil, you could be evil if you were just other, right? If you just didn't belong to our tribe, right? You were evil. It's why we in the United States, before the United States was the United States, why it is that we could so easily overtake the Native American population, because they were set up as savages. They were barbaric. They were other, and they were evil. I don't know that they ever used the word evil, but they were heathens, right? And that was that same idea, which enabled the settlers here in the United States to be able to kill them off, right? To move them onto reservations, to take their rights, to take their lands. It's a slippery slope when we get to this energy. So I was born a passionate, sensitive idealist. Though my family was relatively liberal, my parents were not passionate people. They'd ignore anything for the sake of harmony, which brought out the hypocrisy detector in me. How many of you have a hypocrisy detector? Raise your hand, because I think we all do. It's inborn that we all can smell the bullshit. My mother identified as a feminist, but she still made herself small, and my father let her. My parents considered themselves open-minded, but I saw the look on their faces when I brought home romantic partners of a different race, ethnicity, or gender than expected. Our neighborhood prided itself on its progressive politics, but it also subtly discouraged certain people from moving in, rationalized wars, and dehumanized others. It was the inertness and denial that angered me most. Beneath the anger was hurt. How could they not see what I saw or feel what I felt? When I confronted my parents and they refused to own their biases, we'd have huge fights. I went off to college. My mind spun and my heart broke as I learned about the plight of so many oppressed peoples. I seethed when I witnessed any kind of systemic marginalization or institutional oppression. For years, I hung out only with like-minded activists and judged my parents and most people for not getting it. The more staunchly I fought for peace, the more my personal life was rife with conflict. If I detected a drop of racist blood in my romantic partners, I'd drop them. It wasn't until my best friend divorced me, calling me the most reactionary person she'd ever met, that I woke up. Losing her was devastating, but also a gift. All this time, as I divided up the world into good and ignorant and rejected people left and right, I was desperately trying to avoid being rejected. My fear of rejection had caused me to shut out so many people just because their worldview was different than mine. It took time to move through the layers of humiliation, guilt, and regret. Only when I was able to forgive myself could I begin to repair my personal relationships. Finally, I understood in my heart just how deep our human tendency is to split the world into black and white, us and them. This realization released a creativity in me I never knew was there. Now, instead of rejecting the old world, I channel all of my love and energy into envisioning and co-creating a new one. My approach to the peace movement has become delightfully peaceful. My gift to you. Welcome to the peaceful revolution. If you long to bring harmony to your community, begin by being patient, gentle, and compassionate with yourself. Give your feelings time, space, and plenty of creative outlets. But do not judge them, for when you do, you create an internal pressure that intensifies the feelings and the impulse to act them out. Rejecting yourself only makes it more difficult to see objectively. Soften the heart, understand the other, and see possibilities for resolution. If you must rebel, then rebel against your inner impulse to attack anyone. When you resist the urge to react based on your emotions or to be violent towards yourself, you are doing your part to end violence in the world. Be revolutionary, not reactionary. Questions for contemplation. Do you prioritize harmony over aliveness, depth, and honesty? Do you often push people away before they come too close? Do you reject people before they have the chance to reject you? The next time you feel emotionally triggered and are tempted to react, lash out, or reject someone, ask yourself, am I feeling rejected? Am I afraid of being rejected? What is the most loving, revolutionary act you can do today? Awesome, right? So here's our card, Revolution. And like I said, she's a gorgeous one. Okay, let me go back to Facebook for whatever it's worth and see what people are saying. Debbie Hedden, I already said hello to you. Good morning. Judy says, that's like second guessing yourself. Indeed, it's all like second guessing yourself. But worse than that, it's almost like rejecting yourself, right? Rejecting what you stand for, rejecting your light, rejecting your own humanness, your own ability to make mistakes or to, you know, get into that shadow arena, because we all do it. I do it. I did it. I've done it. I'll continue to do it. But the difference is in what we do with that once we know that we're in that shadow energy. And it's interesting to me because as we're getting ready to go into the Gene Key study group on Friday, the gate 49 was surprisingly, it showed up to me as a surprise that it also was about an inner revolution. I decided that we were going to start with the Gene Key 22, which is about the inner involution. The involution, the evolution is the outer world expression of what is evolving within us. And so I wanted to start with the 22. I just think it's interesting that the sun is at the gate 49, also opening up a pathway to that inner revolutionary energy. So we have something maybe triggering it. And look around at your relationships, because your relationships are equal to the mirror of the world. So when you're looking at your relationships with everything, what does that tell you about you? And ooh, I just got a kind of a chilling aha about that. Because it's your relationship with everything and everyone. So not just your relationship to your spouse or to your kids, but your relationship to your health, your relationship to your work, your relationship to your finances. And then, of course, the relationships that you have with coworkers, with your family members, and et cetera. So we can take a look at relationships of all kinds and see what's in the mirror. All right. So that is pretty much all I had for you this morning. I didn't even write down the thoughts I had on the Pleiadian Earth calendar. So let's just pull out the calendar. So for those of you who have not seen this before, this is the 2020 Pleiadian Earth Energy Calendar by Pia Orlean and Colin Baird Smith. They are both very active in channeling the Pleiades, the Pleiadians, if you will, through an entity named Larkma. And Larkma is a group of beings, not just a being. It's a group, almost like a mind group, if I can get away with saying that. I'm not quite sure I'm saying that correctly. But it's more than one entity that is coming to bring us this wisdom. And this is the wisdom of ancient times, basically. And today we are in 12 loving energy. Interesting. I was going to talk to you about the gates of love today, and we may yet get to that, but probably tomorrow. and 12 loving. So 12 is always the number, the universal number of the day or the universal energy of the day. No matter what life form you are, no matter what universe you're in, you are resonating with the energy of 12 of understanding. And understanding is an energy that helps us to see from multiple viewpoints, to really deeply understand one another, our plight as humans, our plight as individuals, our relationships. And understanding takes us into the depth, right? It takes us beyond the way we judge one another, and it stimulates more of that loving connection. And then interesting that we are in loving energy today. Loving energy was called Lamat in the Mayan calendar. And Lamat was the representation of Venus. It was because Venus, the moon, and the sun were basically the planets, if you will, that the Maya used in their astrology and in their cosmology. And here we have loving energy, which is Lamat was very energetic, and it was very much about love and being together in relationship. It was really about creating an enthusiasm to be together in the world, to be together in community. So today we have understanding community or understanding love. And that brings me to something else I wanted to show you guys this morning. When we're talking about love, do you think, I'm going to go back, I'm going to share my screen again. Oops, I can't share it until you hit share. And now I want to share the human design chart again with you. So raise your hand if you think that love is an emotion and that it is found here in the emotional center. There's some forms of love here in the emotional center, but the center for love is really right here, the identity center. So love is something much more than just what you feel for one another or for what you offer up to the people that you are in relationship with. Love is really who you are, your identity, your soul. This is the seat of the soul. This is called the G center sometimes, or the identity center. It is the magnetic monopole, if you will. It is the energy where the design crystal sits in your being, the energy of the design crystal. And the design crystal is magnetic, and it's a monopole magnet, which means it can only do one thing, and it can only attract. It acts as a one-way magnet of attraction. So it brings to you the right experiences that you need for growth. It brings to you the right opportunities for you to experience love and growth and evolution. It brings you the right people at the right time in the right place, and it is uniquely set up for you to discover love. When we look at the center, it is literally the energy of love. So love isn't just about an emotion or an emotional connection we have to one another. It is literally the foundation of who you are, right? It is the foundation. It is the deepest you. It is the most literal you. You are love, and you feel love. We have 37 here is the love of family. We have other gates here, like the other gates of love mostly sit here. We have the love here of tribe and community, where we're nurturing, feeding, clothing, educating. That's one type of love. We have another type of love over here, the gate 50, which is about discipline, about applying rules, about the consequences of not doing things correctly and according to the laws or the rules of a tribe or a community, and then the logical consequences of not doing that. And that's really about love energy. It's not about punishment. It's not about beating one another or beating up your own self. It is really about a loving energy. We also have the gate 6, which is a kind of love as well. It's more about intimacy and how we share deeply of ourselves with one another. And so when we're really looking at love as the bigger organizing principle of the world, it's you. You. You are love. It is not what you feel. You do have feelings of love, but love itself comes from this center. This is the center for love, the energy of the center. It may be called the identity center. Well, then love equals your identity. You got to love that, right? You got to love that. All right. I'm going to take one last look over here, see if there were any questions going on. Oops, hold on. Did I stop sharing? Yes, I did. See if there's anything going on. The energy of love, the deepest you. Absolutely, Judy, you've got it. And that's a perfect expression of that. So when we are loving and that is extending, when we are able to love, it is an extension coming out from our deepest self, from the true and authentic you. And whether you have that center open or defined, here's another question I'm sure someone's thinking of out there. Well, if I have it open, does that mean I don't have love or I'm not loved? Well, no. Whether that center is defined or open, you are still love. The problem with the open identity center is that it might be harder for you to see how to feel like you are loved or lovable. And often that means that the reflection of the people around you is needed in order for you to really tap into the feeling of what it is like to be loved, to what it is like to have self-love, what it is like to be loved and to feel love is different for you than it is with someone who has defined centers there. So again, we all have all of the human design. It's just a matter of how it is dressed up in your chart, if you will. I guess that's one way we could look at it. Okay, guys. Well, that is it for me this morning, and I'm off and running for my day. I don't know yet what comes next, but that's okay. I'm out of things to say here this morning. I will see you tomorrow morning. I think we have a couple of things to talk about tomorrow besides the energies that of the revolution. Maybe we'll go into the gate 4 tomorrow and talk about understanding and talk more about the gates of love. I think that's a great idea considering Valentine's Day is coming up. All right, guys, take care. Much love to you all. Have a wonderful day. Bye for now.